What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling on this Wednesday morning. Well, a lot going on in Philly sports. You know, the Eagles obviously on to Cincinnati, and they do so with a 4-2 record, which is good. So we'll talk a lot about the Birds today and, you know, Jalen Hurts against Burrow and that whole thing approaching Sunday. And there's also a lot approaching tonight with the 76ers. So it's the season debut. Be excited if you want. And it's great to feel excited, but, man, it's hard to feel really excited when you know no Joel and no Paul George. And, by the way, not just no Joel tonight, but he's going to miss at least the first week of the season. So we'll get into all that, including how the organization handled it and what it all means. Flyers back at it tonight. They have not had a particularly good start to the year, so they could use a W. Look, we'll talk about it all with you at 215-592-9494. Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
The average lifespan of a peasant in the Middle Ages...
Let me guess.
This is what I did when he asked me before the show.
Can I ask a question, James?
I still don't know. He didn't tell me.
No, I have a question before the answer.
Sure.
The term peasant.
Yes.
In a politically correct world. I mean, they were then, but we are now. Is peasant, Devin, is that politically correct in 2024? That person's a peasant.
I don't think people are going to get.
It's a peasant.
Like if you're talking about
I don't think we would do that.
I'm not ripping Richie. I'm just saying.
No, they were peasants then. It's historical.
We have in society historically untouchables.
In a feudal society, you can discuss serfdom.
I feel like a peasant of the 76ers.
No, I hear you. All right, John, I will guess average age for a peasant, I will say, is 29.
I was going to go 27.
I said 28, and then I said 32, then lowered it to 28.
Okay.
So we're in the same idea.
You guys all hit it. There's a massive range here. I tried to narrow it down. The range that they give is 25 to 35.
Wow. How about it?
Now,
there
they said the range depended,
it depended
on a lot of things. The point is... Our show's wiped out.
Yeah, we're all done. Yeah.
We're done.
Maybe Devin could maybe survive a couple more.
Yeah.
Maybe. All right, so let's start with the Sixers. Guys, we have not led a show with the 76ers in a while. We're gonna talk in a heavy dose of Eagles today. By the way, Sirianni, if you missed it yesterday, joined us fairly late in the show. We're going to play the interview we had with Sirianni. It was a pretty wide-ranging conversation at about 6:35 today. So if you missed that yesterday, Sirianni, the win as it related to him coming out of the tough week, the whole deal, Saquon Barkley, all that. 6:35 Sirianni today. You'll hear that from yesterday. Let's start Sixers. So the news, obviously, from yesterday was not good. It's not surprising, but it's not good. So, John, I'll ask this to everybody at 215-592-9494. What is your reaction in whatever direction or directions you want to take it? To knowing that Joel Embiid will not play tonight, will not play the first week, and we just found out yesterday, about 32 hours from the start of the Sixers season. John, you get first crack at it. Sir, the floor is yours.
It just feels like my first reaction is deflation and, are you kidding me? You know, are you serious? He didn't play in the preseason for what was called injury management. And... You know, this is not the end of the world, but it's more of the same frustration that we've come to expect.
For sure.
From this organization and from this player, from this individual in particular, who I want to love and who I try to love. They've mismanaged this already before the season has even begun, which is just incredible. But again, par for the course, par for what we expect. Joel can't play because he and the team absolutely failed at managing his health. And now they're managing his health. You know, the organization strung us along, essentially led us to believe that maybe he could do this.
I agree with you. No question about it.
By telling, they didn't really tell us the truth on what was going on with Joel this preseason. And now he's out for at least the first week.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Like, I want him healthy too, but I want to see him play. I want to be excited about the team we put out there on the court. And okay, Paul George too?
Yeah. But you get that one because that was a real issue.
Saw the injury. Yeah, yeah. I know he'll be back. I know it's sore and all that. Yeah. But right now, what I feel is deflation. And the saddest part, I just really want to try to be excited.
Yeah.
I really want to try to meet this new squad with Paul George and Tyrese and Kelly Oubre and Joel all recombined. And how excited can we really be now? I don't even know when Joel can physically play in an NBA game, despite the fact that, you know, he told us he's going to play in the Olympics and everything's going to be okay. Like, that was okay. This is not. That was a long time ago. You've had the summer.
Right.
You've had September and October. Like, what were you the management of the knee then? Like, what was occurring? So, why is this happening now?
No, that's a great question. So, it look.
Too little, too late. And that's a real concern. Because we've seen that too often from this organization and from this player also.
Well, sure. All right. So here's the deal again for everyone at 215-592-9494. The news as it was announced yesterday that Joel's out at least the first week, your reaction and what it means and on all the levels. Let me just start with this. Here is my reaction. First off, I'll just say overarching comment. It's incredibly disappointing on so many levels. So it immediately obviously puts all of us as fans back on our heels after what was, for the most part, an exciting offseason. I mean, you know, rarely do you add a player of Paul George's caliber. How great he'll still be, we'll see. But rarely do you add a player that good. I mean, it's rare. So,
right.
You know.
He's a superstar, and he is a guy that
I wouldn't call him a superstar,
like.
But he's a star. And I'm immediately, and we are all immediately on our heels. So number one, that stinks. Number two, I believe that this means that Joel Embiid is not healthy. Now, you might say, well, of course, he's missing tonight's game. Well, here's the problem. If you listen to Nick Nurse, and we'll play the audio shortly, of what he said, he would not confirm or deny if Joel Embiid is actually healthy or not, which means there's one of two things going on. Either he's healthy.
Come on.
No, just listen to me for a second. I'm going to be a lawyer here for a second. Either he's healthy and they're choosing not to play him, or he's not healthy. I believe he's not healthy.
Joe.
Yeah.
It's the season opener.
I'm aware. Like, I know.
Why on earth would he be healthy and not playing?
Well, I agree with you. I mean, there's a theory that he will sit out.
No, there's not.
No. I will say this. That when you don't play back-to-backs when healthy, that is about.
It's the season opener.
John, I agree with you. You don't have to back me down.
Right.
I'm with you. What I'm saying is there will be times this year, or at least we hope there are times this year, if he is actually healthy. That if he misses games like back-to-backs, it's because it's
sure.
about trying to prevent
an injury.
They're managing
him.
No, I know.
Yeah, sure, and so, I'm fine with that.
So,
do it.
All right, so I think he's injured. Now, this strikes me like the new norm. This is what really scares me the most about the situation. So typically when he has missed time, typically, it has been because he suffered an injury and then misses whatever, a week, a month, whatever. He misses time because there was an injury that's new. This strikes me like it may be the beginning of the new norm, which is like the Chase Utley second half of the career, where it's like he's just got a debilitating knee situation. And it's just going to be, this is it. This is what you got. He'll play sometimes. He won't play other times. It's not like he had a meniscus tear 13 days ago. No. This is just what you have. An athlete who, by the way, they just signed to a big extension, who seemingly can't answer the bell with enough regularity to be considered a healthy athlete. That's my biggest concern. As it relates to the season, look, it hurts on a lot of levels. Obviously, seeding will be affected. There's no way it can't be. And Nick Nurse had a ridiculous answer yesterday about seeding and the implications that really caused me to, frankly, lose a lot of respect for Nick Nurse. And I like Nick Nurse. I don't know him on a personal level, but I've admired his NBA career, you know, his journey, if you will. Beat the Sixers in 2019. Seems like one of the better coaches in pro basketball. He's handling it poorly. Of course it will hurt their seeding, which obviously for the postseason means, number one, harder to have home court advantage. You might not have it at all. Number two, you're going to face tougher teams earlier in the playoffs. We saw that last year when the Sixers were in a round against the Knicks in the first round. It's like, well, this isn't like when you get to play the Nets and they got Manny, Moe, and Jack out there. Like, you might lose in the first round, so you got that reality. And then, of course, the continuity for players aspect is massive. I mean, every single year, it's like you got like three or four guys back and eight new dudes. Every year. And this year's not that different. You got a couple guys back, but you know, you ripped up the bench, you changed this guy, changed that guy. So they got to learn to play together, and this will make that difficult. Very difficult. One more thing, and oh, by the way, this ain't a small thing. Then, John, there's how the organization handled it and how they always handle it. You know, them informing the public yesterday about 32 hours prior to tip-off of the season opener is a disgrace. And here's why I feel super confident I can say that.
The deception.
Yeah, and here's why I feel really confident in that. You can make an argument, and again, everyone, you can weigh in 215-592-9494 on all of this. You can make a reasonable argument that if Joel Embiid was it was announced yesterday or today that Joel Embiid was going to miss the season opener. Okay, I get it. It's not what you'd call a game time decision. It's what you'd call a day before decision. Okay, it's reasonable. He's going to miss a game. It went close to tip off. Unfortunately, the pendulum swung the other way. Okay, got it. They announced yesterday he's missing the first week. At least. Don't tell me they didn't know this sooner. They hid the information. They did what they always do. And it is why we say over and over and over again, it is hard to like the 76ers as an organization.
And now I trust you even less, right? Organization. And now I trust you even less, Joel.
It really, this is a team that I love. A team that I love. This is Dr. J and Mo Cheeks and Moses and Bobby Jones and Allen Iverson and Aaron McKee and Billy Cunningham and Larry Brown and Dikembe. Like, this is the organization
being drugged through the mud
guys
by this current activity, this current action.
That we, as fans, get dragged through the mud,
yes,
because of the actions over the last roughly 10 years of the crew running it now. It's a disgrace. Yeah. It is a disgrace.
I hate the way you make us feel about this organization,
right?
Now.
It really, yeah. So look,
It is a travesty.
It is.
And it's unfair to the greatness of the organization, of the greatness, of the things that we love, that we have seen.
Look, it hurts my heart because, it there's a lot complicated. Like, hey, let's try to put a person on the moon back in the 60s. That's complicated, all right? That takes, like, real effort and real ingenuity and, like, you got to get there somehow, figure it out. The stuff we're talking about, it's not that complicated. Being real, being upfront, having a good organization, I mean, come on.